Yeah, I've been up all night, just finished an hour-long speech in the Senate, and having exhausted the roster of all senators eligible to speak who wanted to speak, the Senate immediately called the vote. After I clocked out, they're up there voting right now. It appears destined to pass. This didn't have to happen. It's unfortunate that we had Senate Republicans turning on the commitment they made to each other and to their voters and to our House Republican colleagues down the hall. There'll be more opportunity to talk about that later, but in the meantime, I take some comfort in knowing that the Speaker of the House is pronounced dead on arrival.
Well, I mean, that's kind of to be expected, really. I mean, you knew the Senate was going to go this way, and this was something that Rand Paul had warned about yesterday, that this was going to go, I mean, you knew it was going to go through the Senate. There are too many, first off, you don't have enough of a Republican majority, number one, and then you don't have enough of a Republican majority that is a conservative Republican majority. So that's the other problem. And it's this issue that's, I mean, that's kind of why we ended up having the vote that we did. This was the Ukraine supplemental. And we're going to talk a little bit about this because now it goes to the House and it's going to face a tougher fight. I mean, obviously in the House than it is anywhere else. But still, I mean, you can't take anything for granted because these people are ridiculous. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this first hour on Tuesday. And this, there's multiple things going on here. And Republicans are a mess and they're all over the place. Because you have the media and Democrats that are kind of at a war, and Republicans are too stupid to take advantage of it. And by this, I mean, we had that HER report that came out that was detailing Joe Biden's cognitive decline, right? And I mean, it's very clearly obvious. I mean, it said what we kind of all knew, but it also said that they can't go after him for the classified documents because of his mental willfulness. It's insane, but that's what it is. So the surrogates for Biden are going out saying that this is a media constructed thing. And then you have a very soft, but still it's an existent Democrat civil war over this, because there are certain Democrats that absolutely want to push him out. Others that don't want to push him out. They don't want to lose that. Republicans aren't taking advantage of it. And then the Democrats there that are not all in right now and just trying to defend Biden, they're also trying to simultaneously tank Republican increase in approval as it relates to the border that we have seen. And they're trying to push back on Republicans and make it look as though, no, here are the Republicans that are actually failing to do anything about the border. And here's this bill that we put forward, et cetera, et cetera. And they know right now that Republicans are just sucking out loud at messaging. They're all over the place. There's no strategy. So you have two issues that Democrats could be whooped over, and Republicans are falling all over themselves and they're not able to seize on this and exploit it. And I get some people that get aggravated with me. They're like, I wish you'd talk about Democrats as much as you talk about Republicans. And I want to give you the back of my hand with all my rings on it, because you haven't listened to me long enough to accuse me of such a thing. I seriously want to knock people's teeth out when I hear that. And I don't mean that as a joke. I literally wish assault wasn't a crime, because I have talked so much about Democrats. I've been doing this longer than these people have been bitching on Twitter or X now. So I don't have to pay no indulgence in this political society to be able to rightfully criticize Republicans when they mess up. And they do mess up a lot. In fact, Republicans' own worst enemy ain't the Democrats, it's other Republicans. And I'm so livid over this, because there are two things that they could be really hammering Democrats on, and they're not doing it. They're not doing it. They're not doing it at all. They're falling all over themselves in the Senate with this bill. And now we got this stupid RNC fight, which we're going to talk about. And I'm sorry, I don't care how much you like a politician. I don't want no dynasties, and I don't want your daughter-in-law running the RNC. And that's the issue that we got right now. That's what we have to deal with. So we're going to talk about all of this stuff coming up. So again, happy Tuesday to you. It's how we're starting the show.
It's only Tuesday.
This has been the longest year ever. Oh my gosh. This is the longest year ever. So I want to warn you that this package isn't dead. The Ukraine supplemental. It's not dead. It's this $95 billion bill. No border provisions. None. No border provisions. They fought all over it late last night, early into the morning. You have, here's the breakdown. $61 billion for Ukraine, $14 billion for Israel in its war against Hamas, $4.8 billion to support Indo-Pacific partners, and that includes Taiwan. And then you have, here's the other thing that's going to make you mad, $9.1 billion in taxpayer dollars going to Gaza and West Bank and Ukraine and other conflict zones. So Ukraine does get a lot. Why are we giving any money to Gaza? Unpopular opinion. When you elect a terrorist government, you're going to have terrorists running your government. At some point, the voters are responsible. I'm so tired of baby-handing all these damn voters out there, especially in Gaza. You voted for terrorists, and they were so popular they were going to be voted for after being elected in 2006 in Gaza. The people in West Bank saw it and were like, wow, we love those terrorists, and the fact that they literally strip all the copper out of your pipes and the fact that they take pipes and they turn them into bombs and missiles and everything else. We love that you guys have no running water and no reliable electricity because they took the welfare that Israel gave you and decided to spend it all on killing Jews. So, hey, we love it so much, we're going to elect Hamas here in West Bank. And so that's when you had the governing authority that includes Fatah. They suspended the elections. So I don't know. You voted for terrorists. Don't be shocked. You wanted war. You got war. There's no nuance in war. You're going to get your ass kicked. Bottom line. So I say this because we don't need to be giving any money to Gaza. If people feel so heart blood for Gaza, then you can have the other Arab League nations do it because it's their problem. It ain't ours. So that's just bottom line. So these billions of dollars go in here. Now, Mike Johnson has said that it's insufficient without border security. Everybody needs to be putting a lot of pressure on Mike Johnson because he doesn't have the political capital to stand strong for long. Now, I'm not saying he's not a nice guy. Can we stop this? I had someone tell me the other day, well, you know, he seems like a nice guy. I don't care if you think he's a nice guy. I don't care. I don't care if he bakes muffins for orphans on the weekend. What do I get out of it as a taxpayer? At some point, people got to realize that this is about show business, not show friends. Business of the country, not friends of the country. I don't care if someone's nice. What do you get me in terms of reduced taxpayer dollars going to foreign nations over foreign conflicts? What do you get me in terms of an actual beefed up border bill? What do you get me in terms of a secure border? What do you get me in keeping your government Uncle Sam hands out of my pockets? That's what I want to know. I don't care how nice you are. I don't care if he has a stray dog operation in his house and that's all he does. And on the weekends, he goes home and makes dog treats. I don't care. I don't care what he does. If it doesn't include your job, I don't care. It's the nation and it's the business of the nation that counts. And he's got to hold the line. And this is what happens. This is when political capital is tested, y'all. Because if you don't think that you're going to get pressure, you are. Mike Johnson is not a guy that goes out and is a big fundraiser. That's another issue. That's power. You guys don't realize how serious this stuff is. You want to know the reason why you see all these lawmakers, particularly in the House, traveling all over for everywhere? Because they got to raise X amount of dollars. They have to hit a quota every quarter. And some of them come from tough districts, so they got to bring out more boisterous personalities in redder districts that can be boisterous because their district supports it to come and help raise money for them or to give them some of the money that they help raise because they have to raise X amount per quota. I don't know what they get out of it because I'm looking at the RNC right now. I'm like, no messaging, no nothing, and y'all are going to play dynasty with it, but okay. So Johnson says it's insufficient without border security measures. He said that the Senate failed to meet the moment. And you got the Senate getting ready to apply a lot of pressure on the House on this. Now, some of the stuff that we're seeing on it, for instance, I was looking at Johnson's remarks. He was saying America deserves better than the Senate status quo, et cetera, et cetera. That's great. They're going to try to push this. They're going to try to push it onto the floor anyway. And we'll see how that goes. But I mean, in the meantime, you know, the other thing I was seeing regarding the border is you got terrorists coming across the border. And I still can't believe that that's not being used as a way to push people. I mean, I can't even, that did that come up at all in the debate? That's what the, that's what some of these Republicans needed to do in the debate. Some of these Republicans in this debate, what they needed to do is pull up all of these pictures of these known terrorists that are crossing the border. They need to do that and showcase it on the floor. There was one illegal immigrant who was on the terror watch list as a known associate. They were from Afghanistan, Arif Tana. They crossed the border illegally. And U.S., I mean, we had our military that raided his family's home in Afghanistan because he was a known entity, a known terrorist associate. And he had crossed the border illegally. These are the people that are coming over. This guy, this terrorist, said that he had been stopped for biometric checks and questioning. He was on TikTok bragging about it. He had visas everywhere. His primary source of funding was a brother who has terror associates in Kuwait. He had been denied entry into Europe in 2020. I mean, oh my heavens. Yeah, the Daily Caller had this awesome piece. The question is, this is what needs to be used to really bring this point home. This is what the Senate allowed. And then you had John Cornyn, who decided to go out. He and Ken Paxton got into a big fight. Did you guys see it? He and Ken Paxton got into a fight because Ken Paxton criticized the fact that John Cornyn, Texas senator, that he ended up, that he stated that he supported the passage of the National Security Supplemental Appropriation. And he had said this, he goes, quote, "I'm deeply disappointed that the National Security Supplemental Appropriation failed to achieve a secure border. But in the end, if Biden won't enforce current laws, I have no confidence he'll enforce any new ones." So he's going to pass it anyway. He knows it doesn't do anything at the border, but he's going to pass it anyway. So Ken Paxton criticized him over this, right? And you can understand why Ken Paxton might criticize him over this. You can understand that. So they decided to go back and forth. And then they went back and forth for most of the morning. Really, really catty stuff. But Paxton was right. Paxton didn't say anything that was ignorant. And then Cornyn decided he was going to try to bring up, you know, oh, well, you're criminal charges or whatever, et cetera, et cetera. Good heavens. 22 Republicans. And they include all the Republicans that you would imagine. The Mitch McConnell. You had Senator John Kennedy who voted.
I know.
Tom Tillis. Most of them, though, I'm not surprised. You know, like the Mitt Romney's and all that. John Thune was a surprise. Roger Wicker.
I don't know. I was kind of surprised by the Grassley one.
I'm not anymore.
Yeah, you know.
Here's how I look at things. And my husband says I have the worst attitude ever on this stuff. I said, you know what? Because I always tell him, I said, this is how you got to look at stuff, especially in this business. Just expect that you're going to get disappointed by somebody. Just expect that the person you're speaking with is going to disappoint you. Because they will. And when they don't, you can you know, be happy and optimistic, and you know, but they're going to disappoint you. So don't be surprised. Just be prepared. That's realistic. It's not a fatalist attitude. He's just like, you're so negative. I'm like, no, I'm not. That's just the way it is. All these cats are going to disappoint you. By the nature of their fabric of their personalities being drawn to the positions that they're drawn to, they were made to disappoint you.
True.
You know, it's just the way it is. They were made to disappoint. We got a lot to discuss. We got to talk about the RNC stuff. We have a lot more legislative battles to hit, some cultural stuff, a whole bunch. You know, gosh, all the latest too. More stuff still awesome coming up with everything with developments coming out of that Lakewood church shooting. So we got a lot to hit. Talking about how bad the economy is and shrinkflation. You need to get a hedge against it. And you can do that with gold and silver. The gold IRA field, though, can seem pretty confusing. And it's, you know, finding a precious metals company that you can trust is not exactly the easiest thing to do. So turn to Goldcorp, because everybody knows the government printing tons of money The shrinkflation. This is exactly how we got here in the first place. So Gold Co. has a free 2024 gold kit, and you can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver. One of their most unique qualities at Gold Co. is their education-first stance and the thoroughness of the info that they provide. They got a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for people to explain the economy and how gold IRAs work. And it's just very easy to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver, and they will walk you through it at Gold Co. And this is a very important part, by the way, your overall retirement and savings strategy. They're transparent, they're honest, they have unmatched customer service with a zero complaint record, no pressure. So protect your family's financial future and freedom, and get started today at danalikesgold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get maybe $10,000 in bonus silver. That's danalikesgold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So when I first read this, I don't know, I thought I immediately was like a plane. That was my first thought. But no, it's the Gulf Stream, like the actual, you know, Gulf Stream could collapse, they say, as early as 2025, plunging Europe into a deep freeze. I told y'all it's climate freezing, not climate warming. And the scientists are saying, hi, guys. Like, you know, we could have a deep freeze. There's no consensus in the scientific community. People realize this, right? Like, I literally remember in the 90s, early 90s, getting my weekly reader, and they're talking about climate cooling. I'm not kidding you. And I don't know what happened, but it changed somehow. Squatters are taking over homes all over the nation on an industrial scale. I cannot even believe that it's this difficult to fight against squatters. Because if it's my property, I'm invoking castle doctrine, and you can leave on foot or in a bag. That's your choice. So I'm not even joking. Like, that will happen. It's your choice, you know, FAFO. I'll be your Huckleberry. But they said that because of online listings, that's actually fueled this to be a huge issue. And so people can identify properties that are vacant. And states have made it really hard to get squatters out. That's wild to me. Yeah. And ancient Romans used hallucinogenic drugs. There's a lot that they did. I'd be surprised at anything they didn't do. Stick with us. Bar partners over at Wise Foods. Wise Food Storage. When emergencies strike, the last thing that you want to worry about ever is having to, you know, figure out where your next meal is coming from. And this is where Wise Food Storage comes in. They have a buy one, get one offer right now. In fact, they have a bunch of exclusive deals right now that you can get. Just visit wisefoodstorage.com, type Dana in the search bar to access all of these deals. For instance, you get a 72-hour food kit, a buy one, get one, $100 value for $50, two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food, and 11,120 total calories in each kit. All food is made with high quality U.S. ingredients, freeze dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water. They also have their heirloom seed vault as well. 39 variety of seeds, non-hybrid, non-GMO, open pollinated heirloom varieties, and each kit contains more than 4,500 seeds with a 10-year shelf life. Order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Just type in Dane in the search bar for those exclusive deals like that 72-hour food kit. Visit wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana, and then use Dana in the search bar.
No matter what side of funding the war in Ukraine you fall on, enough is enough. Congress is taking your tax dollars, but they don't want to offset it by cutting anything else. They'll just throw it onto the pile of trillions of more debt. Cut it from somewhere else in the budget.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
So she has utilized both male and female names, but through all of our investigation to this point, talking with individuals, interviews, documents, Houston Police Department reports, she has been identified this entire time as female, she, her, and so we are identifying her as Genesee Moreno, Hispanic female.
So see, we talked about this yesterday. First off, welcome back to the program. You're super mean, former, not totally retired goth kid here, Dana Lash. We talked about this yesterday, and this is why so much of the trans rhetoric is such garbage. Because everybody's sitting here trying to figure out, is this perp, a dude or a chick? Because it was so confusing. Because someone was saying that the medical examiner said it was a chick, but that she called herself Jeffrey and was taking like tee shots and stuff. Why? See, this is why I need a camera on your face. Kane will not do it. You got to help me convince him. Why? Okay, join the show. What's up? Why are you over there making Kane face?
Because everything. So his name was Jeffrey when he was in El Salvador.
he comes here and becomes a non-Hispanic white woman, and then everyone's just going to be like, you know, she. No.
But was it? That's what's so confusing about it. Was it a dude or a chick? Like, he came out screaming as a dude?
That's how I understood it yesterday. Now, granted, because I don't care, I didn't look any further. But this was how I dug into it yesterday. Spent enough time on it yesterday to know that this was a guy that then became a woman here.
They said that during the initial press conference, police didn't say that Moreno was transgender. They said that Moreno used male and female names, and she had been identified, blah, blah, blah. It was transgender. So he was, but he was a guy identifying as a chick. That's what I hate about this.
This is why there was so much time in the investigation dedicated to just this.
This is so stupid. It's so dumb. I mean, can you imagine if there was a bolo out? Oh my gosh, the public is in danger of being shot and killed by this crazy, you know, illegal immigrant that has a violent record and tons of weapons charges. I don't even know how they illegally obtained, how he, she, it, Frankenweiner, whatever, how they were able to even obtain a firearm in the first place. Nobody knows. So can you imagine the general public being like, well, what do we look out for? Well, it could be a white woman, but it's a guy from El Salvador. You know what I mean? Like, well, I mean, you guys could be murdered by a white woman, but it's actually a guy from El Salvador. So good luck with that. You know, bolo. And then the general public is like, the hell? What are we looking out for? Who's, you know, I'm like looking at, I mean, everybody's a suspect at that point. Well, I mean, it could be a white woman, but it could also be an El Salvadorian man. I mean, we don't know. It's very important that we indulge the feelings and political sensitivities of the criminal. It's very important. I mean, that, guys, is it better to be dead or polite in terms of political correctness? I mean, that's really the choice that we have here. You know, we don't want to risk it with the political sensitivities of the criminal. Yes, you and your kids could all die, but we don't want to risk it for any other biscuit but political correctness. That's the way we're going to roll. This guy who came out, this press conference that Juan played on the simulcast, he looked like John Candy in National Lampoon's Family Vacation, coming out and telling you the park's closed. Moose out front should have told you. He looked like that guy. Doesn't he? The moose, oh, this, sorry, but the discussion about their vagina or wiener is closed. Moose out front should have told you. That's what he said. That's him right now. Yes, we are making fun of this absurdity in the most absurd way possible, because they actually spent time on this. And then with his hand gestures, what is this? Like, are you feeding ducks? Like, what is with the hand gestures at the same time? Like, I'm dying right now. This is the problem. I looked on social media. There were people, because I had posted about it, and there were people in my mentions that were so mad about this. And they kept going, it was a man, it was a woman, it was a man, it was a... Meanwhile, everybody's getting murked. Everybody's... I mean, think about it. Again, just go back to that well of hypothetical. You know, if they had said, be on the lookout for either a white woman or a El Salvadorian man. Over. Breaker one night. Can you run that by me again? Over. Yeah, 10-4 there, Smokey. We got a El Salvadorian man, or we got a white woman from Kansas. We don't know. One of the two. Burp. Duck and cover. Burp. Over. I mean, and can you imagine? Now think about it.
Tuck and cover?
Yes. Okay. Or whatever. But think about it. Imagine the ATF shows up, like, just in this grand scheme of craziness. And the ATF shows up, and they're confused because, you know, this person had like tons of weapons charges, right? Previously. Think about it. What are they going to do? I mean, what are they going to shoot? Who are they going to shoot? They don't know.
ATF here on scene. Directions over. Yeah, ATF, could be a white woman. Could be an El Salvadorian man. We don't know. Over. So you're telling us to shoot all the dogs. That's what you're telling us. Shoot all the dogs and maybe shoot some kids. That's what you're saying. Over. ATF here. Over.
Damn, ATF.
I mean, sometimes they have enough of a problem identifying the right things. And, you know, I mean, I'm just saying this. Do you see how crazy this could get? You got everybody showing up and they don't know what the hell to do. Everyone's a suspect. Everybody's a suspect. You are in Texas. Could be an El Salvadorian man or a white woman. Well, hell, that's everybody. Everybody's a suspect. Get down. You're all guilty. All because we had to tickle the jimmies of the political sensitivities of trans rhetoric. Do you see how dumb this is now? And then we got this one guy. Well, she identified as, well, whatever it was, identified as was, because they're dead. They got popped. That's how it is. I can't believe that we spent, that they spent, law enforcement spent all that time. They had to stop and address it. And they still don't. I just think that when you are going out to kill people, you don't get the courtesy of having people play make-believe with you about your genitals. You know? Don't you forfeit that? I mean, I wouldn't even say excuse me if I bumped into you. So what the hell makes you think that I'm going to sit here and play pretend with you about your genitals? I don't get it. You are not owed that courtesy if you're going out. Actually, you're not owed it at all. And you're especially not owed it if you're going to go out and start killing people and targeting people at a church with a Palestine sticker slapped on your rifle. Literally put a sticker that said Free Palestine on the rifle. And the media's like, gosh, we just don't even know what the motive is. I don't even know. This is crazy. Just this guy from El Salvador, this white woman, whichever, just had this rifle and they put a sticker that said Palestine on. I just don't even know what the motive is.
Journalism.
Yay, journalism-ing. It's like Ralph from The Simpsons. And I helped. This is the reality of this whole situation. Oh my gosh. And now you see how crazy it is. It's crazy, right? This is ridiculous. No pun intended. The way that they said a medical examiner said it was a woman who identified as a man. I don't know. But Moreno brought a 7-year-old and they said that the 7-year-old was a biological son, and people are like, well, they don't know how the 7-year-old got shot. Well, the parent took them to a shooting. What did you expect was going to happen? You don't know how the 7-year-old, let me tell you, the trans terrorist with the Free Palestine sticker, I don't know how, what the motive is, went up to a church and they brought their kid to. That's something else too. In Nashville, the killer in Nashville, trans terrorist, had a manifesto. And they're like, we just don't know what the motive is. It's so crazy. Just don't understand what the motive is. But the moment the gun control lobby hears of any kind of tragedy, they're like, oh, it's probably a white supremacist. Probably a white supremacist gun organization member. It's probably what it is. And then they immediately start assigning motive. But the moment that there is any pretending about genitals thrown in there, oh, no, full stop. The moment there's some pro-Hamas butt-kissing thrown in. Oh, nope, full stop. Wild. That is kind of a bag of oxymorons, isn't it, though? That's like saying, I mean, you're a trans-Hamas supporter. You'd be killed in that area that you're advocating for with the sticker on your rifle.
Absolutely.
I'm just trying to figure out. Can I also say this, too, because everyone's talking about mental illness. They're like, oh, man, mental illness. This person was mentally ill. You know, sometimes people are just evil buttholes. They are. Not everybody's mentally ill. Some people are just evil jackwagons. mentally ill people that are dangerous typically are just mentally, they're just dangerous to themselves. I think a lot of people need to stop rushing to this well of, oh, it's a mental illness, because that's just as bad as going to the well of, oh, blame the gun. It's just as bad. You're just switching out variables. These are the variables in these instances. Oh, it's the guns. Oh, it's the video games. Oh, it's mental illness. Not everybody who's mentally ill is dangerous. In fact, statistically, they're only dangerous to themselves. And even then, it's a small percentage. Some people are just evil jackwagons, but that's a terrifying thing for the general public to admit to themselves. Because we spend a lot of our time telling ourselves that evil isn't real. It's just a societal construct and it's a choice. Because if we had to acknowledge that evil was real, then we'd have to acknowledge forces greater than ourselves at work here. But we know people can't do that. So they say, oh, it's just mental illness. If they have to acknowledge that some people are just evil and they're just jerks, then that's a scary thing, right? Someone who chooses to just so flagrantly disregard the value of somebody else's life and they don't care. Sometimes that's the scariest monster of all. And I think that people just don't like to admit that. But they got to stop it, because it makes it harder for people, you know, like a mom that has baby blues or somebody else that might be dealing with other issues. It makes it harder for them to come out and get help, get the help that they need. Because you have all these other jackwagons out here saying, oh my gosh, it's mental illness, it's this, it's that. No, some people are just evil. Evil is real. I don't know. I think people got to be careful with the language there. All right, so coming up, the RNC is so bad, let's make it worse. We're going to talk about how we can do that, right? Let's have a fantasy football team of ways to just completely run the RNC into the ground. As we get moving, new partners, the folks over at Field of Greens. This is a good supplement, not a substitute, but it's a good supplement to help you get healthier this year. Better nutrition, obviously, that's like the key to health. If you're out there working out, you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing, but you're not doing it diet-wise, then it's pointless, because diet's like 90 to 95% of all of this. And so Field of Greens, basically what you do is you take one serving, it's one scoop, and you mix it with 8 ounces of water, but you can put it in like, you know, club soda, you could put it in milk or in something that's not milk. You could make a smoothie out of it. You can do whatever you want. And it's full of 100% USDA organic fruits and vegetables, real organic superfood. And it's full of antioxidants, fiber, prebiotics, all formulated by a team of actual physicians. It's safe for the whole family, for all athletes. And it's, it really is, you know, all the good stuff that you probably are not going to eat in a typical day, but you can definitely get it with just 8 ounces and one scoop. You can save up to 15% off your first order, and you can also get free rush shipping using promo code Dana by simply going to fieldofgreens.com. So if you've resolved to get healthier in 2024, start with Field of Greens. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code Dana to get 15% off your first order plus free rush shipping. That's fieldofgreens.com, promo code Dana.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Oh, man, you got chicken fingers. You got I want the root of making sure I had the hamburger. So tell me about you guys. What you doing these days? So
why don't you share about your passion of sports?
I'm playing AAU basketball right now.
Are you really? Are you guard?
Yes, sir.
Now, what grade are you in?
Seventh grade.
Right now, I'm just doing basketball, playing guard on the JV team for my school.
How about the school? How are y'all doing in school? What should tell the president about the school?
Favorite thing about it is the business academy I'm in. We get to like travel, so we've been to like NC State and Wake Tech. We went to this small dry cleaning business. And it's cool. It's a great experience.
I'm impressed.
He's like,
is that a new program at school?
Yes, sir, it is. It just started just a couple of years ago.
You know how much this guy loves you. Yeah. You just feel it, can't you?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Your dad jumped in front of a bull for you. By the way, dads are hard to raise once you're a teenager. We're hard to raise, so you gotta be patient with us, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
A little patient.
He moves so slow, it's like watching a sloth. He moves so slow. It just doesn't. I know he's trying to do these very, very tightly edited videos where he is. I don't know. He's trying to look like he's relatable. Yeah. Everyday Joe. Everyday Joe. And he's like, why does he take so long to say stuff? I went the route of making sure that I had a hamburger. I mean, is there a faster way to say that? I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure there is. I don't know, man. I don't know. The president's apparently supposed to make remarks here coming up at the top of next hour. It says 1:15, the press pool. I'm assuming that's ET, so 12:15. Oh, my gosh. Just, I can't. He just is. And then you have the, his surrogates going out there going, no, he's totally fine. Look at him. He's great. He does more things in an hour than most people do their entire lives. Wait. Yeah, what? That guy, that special counsel guy, he's so wrong. So coming up, if you were going to really root, just shred the RNC, I have a way to do it. Actually, it's not my way. It's already being proposed. We do not need a dynasty, a political dynasty, and we do not need people's family members taking over the RNC. And putting their, I mean, nothing is swampier than elevating your family and your friends to take over the political organization that you're going to need for fundraising. And when you're, look, he's got some legal bills. You all knew this going in. Out of the $50 million that was raised, $43 million that was raised, $50 million of it had to go to legal, the legal bills. You're like, but Dana, that doesn't, math doesn't work. Hi. That's, welcome to the RNC. Hi. You get to go find money in magical places. Go on. But the former president says that he wants his daughter-in-law, Lara Trump, to run the RNC and has nominated her as such. That gives off a lot of impropriety. We're going to talk about that and a ton more. Stick with us. More on the way. Second hour coming up. We got President Daddy Shower. Sniff Smith Kid's going to talk to. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, Black Rifle Coffee, the only coffee that I drink. Honestly, because it's just the best coffee that's out there. And with Black Rifle Coffee, you are getting, it's a veteran-owned company, veteran-owned. They employ active duty and retired veterans, and they have the absolute best roast there, just period. Some of my favorites are like the Silencer Smooth. I love that. The AK-47 Espresso is great. They also have the Thin Blue Line Medium Roast. Freedom Fuel Dark Roast, always nice. I mean, there's just so much that they have. And the cool thing about the coffee club, if you join the coffee club, you can choose your favorite roast, however many you want, and you can have it shipped for free to your door. So choose how often you want it so that you never, ever run out of coffee. And I'm telling you, it's more affordable than what you're going to pay for the bougie stuff in the store. Fresh to your door, no shipping fees. You'll never run out. And you can also find the grinders and mugs and kettles, everything that you need to make the perfect cup of coffee. You can find it at Black Rifle Coffee. And when you become a member of that coffee club, use code Dana because that's going to get you 30% off of your first subscription order. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Join that Black Rifle Coffee Club today. Get 30% off your first month with code Dana. Save money on high quality coffee roasted right here in the US of A. blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
You said the economy was in a much different place. Is there any worry that inflation might actually be picking back up and that we could see a sort of a...
So we have concerns, basically. You've heard... Jared say this from this podium and many others who are part of our economic team is that we certainly look at trends. That is something that we do here and not read too much to data from 1 month. That is how we operate here and others do as well. But we certainly understand that there's more work to be done to lower costs. That is something that we're aware of.
Are you though? Because it doesn't seem like it. Because here you have Rick Santelli. He was the guy who kind of got who kick-started really the creation of the second Tea Party back in 2008. Listen to what he's explaining here, Audio Soundbite 18. Listen to this.
Headline number expected to be up 0.2% is up 0.3%. That's the hottest since SEP of 23 when it was up 0.4%. Strip out food and energy, even hotter. Up 0.4%, also 0.1% hotter than expected. Up 0.4%. Well, you equal that going to May of last year. You surpass it going to April of last year when it was up 0.5. The year-over-year numbers also hotter, 3.1 on headline year-over-year. We're expecting 2.9, but did make progress versus the rearview mirror, which stands at 3.4.
See, that's the reality of the situation. So I don't know what they're talking about when they're like, oh, well, you know, the economy's in a different place. Everything's, you know, they're not going to believe what you tell them. They're going to believe what they can afford and you know, how far their dollar goes and all this other stuff. They're going to believe in how expensive things are. I mean, the guys were just talking about how expensive just Chick-fil-A got just in the past couple of years. Going and getting like basic value meals at Chick-fil-A the prices increased drastically because the price everywhere has increased. The cost of doing business has increased, and businesses have margins they got to maintain. I mean, there's a lot that goes into this. So again, welcome back to the program. Top of this second hour here Tuesday, Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program, watch the video component of the radio show, the simulcast, Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook as well. And the president is going to speak at the top of this hour, right? Like at some point, that's what we're, yeah, well, he'll be 40 minutes late. You know that he'll be late. He did have this on his schedule. It wasn't something that was on his schedule initially. Right. Yeah. But now, excuse me, now it is. So while this goes, I started the program by talking how aggravated I am at, you have the Democrat Party that's trying to keep its head above water right now, dealing with the messaging of Biden's mental acuity. And then also dealing with the border issue. And they're actually outmaneuvering Republicans on the border because Republicans can't deal with messaging. The Republican Party's a mess. The RNC is a mess. They're broke. And I'll have you, I'll just again remind folks that the previous president handpicked the RNC chair, Ron McDaniel. And to his credit, he's like, yeah, she's a disaster. She has to go. So he has suggested as co-chair his daughter-in-law. Now, I think that this gives a lot of, and I know Lara Trump, she's very nice. That has nothing to do with this, though. That has nothing to do with this issue. I don't care how nice someone is. This just gives off a lot of the optic of impropriety. We don't need dynasties, and we don't need people having their friends and family run the RNC. And I just think that this is a major, this is not a serious suggestion. I think she's very valuable to his campaign. I don't think she would actually be a great choice as RNC chair because you're too close to the campaign. And again, it gives off the major air of impropriety, especially at a time when the president is, again, he brought in with his PACs, I think, what, $43 million, and his legal bills were $50 million. A lot of the money that, most of the money, maybe all, that he's raising through his PACs are going towards the legal fight. And that's important because that means that he's going to have to rely more heavily on RNC funds. Well, it's not just him that has to rely more heavily on RNC funds. They also have to look at all the other little groups that they work with that help fund all of the other congressional races, the Senate races, etc., the gubernatorial races. All of that filters down from it. And they want to make sure that they can maintain some control of the House. And they're trying to just keep the margins what they are in the Senate, because there's no way I'd be shocked if Republicans took back the Senate. Now you can see why there might be an air of impropriety. If you have your daughter-in-law as the co-chair of the RNC, and if there is going to be an inordinate amount of financial attention paid to his campaign over what the RNC is also required to do with these down ballot races, that's going to be, I mean, you want to talk about a civil war within the RNC and the Republican Party, you're going to get it. It just gives off the air of impropriety. I don't think it's appropriate. I don't think that this is, I just don't think that she was particularly made for this role. And I don't have tolerance for people who take it as a personal insult. It's not. It's just, that's just the way it is. And it's just, there's too much optic of impropriety there to even the people that you need. And I, it's just not an appropriate thing. The other folks that they were talking about being a co-chair is Michael Whatley. And this guy has done some stuff with the North Carolina GOP, but a lot of people, including some of Trump's hardcore supporters that have worked on his campaign in different states, have said that that is awful. That's an awful pick. And I've been hearing that from a lot of people, because I have a lot of, I have friends who work in the Trump camp, and they are not happy with us. He apparently got sued by his own delegates, and I've had a couple of people, including Lorraine, send me this. North Carolina Republicans sued him because he rigged his own chairman's race. Michael Whatley did, so he got sued. He doesn't have a lot. He doesn't, people who are even in the Trump camp don't even have the highest opinion of him. This is bad because, again, you're swapping out Ronna McDaniel, which was a friend and a favor, with a daughter-in-law and a co-chair with this guy? No. Guys, do you want to lose in 2024? I'm asking that seriously, because this is how you lose. I want to win. And if that includes offending people who put more of a priority on demonstrating loyalty to a politician than they do to ensuring that our freedoms are protected by winning in 2024, then I don't care. I will offend you. This is not how you win. That is a disaster. If they go through with it, the RNC isn't a serious party, and I would highly encourage you to not give a dime to them. I'm telling you that now, don't give a dime to them, but I definitely wouldn't give a dime to them on that. It's not a serious move. That's not a serious move by a serious party. It's just a giant disaster. A disaster in the making. So I Ronna McDaniel was bad enough. And again, that was a Trump pick. And now she's out. She's apparently that's official. They just need to, Trump needs to not be involved in picking the RNC chair. He needs to not be involved in it. You can talk about how he makes good business decisions and how he can listen to other folks in times when he needs to, but he does not have a stellar track record when it comes to picking folks. This would not be a good move. If that upsets people, then it upsets people. But I'm not going to sit here and not say the truth because I'm worried about offending sensitivities. I'm more concerned about winning in 2024 than offending someone's sensitivities. That's the same logic that got us into this mess with the trans movement. People are so worried about offending someone's political sensitivities that we can't even use proper terminology when we talk about biological junk. I'm not going to worry about offending someone's sensitivities when it comes to talking about scientific, statistical, and financial reality concerning elections in the RNC. So, it's just a disaster all around. And that's just not, that's not any of the things that we need to do. And really, I mean, I don't even know why that would even be considered. It's just and this is what the New York Times had reported this morning, that Ronna was stepping. They said last Tuesday she was stepping down. Apparently now it's like official at this point. But the RNC, their spending has to be completely dedicated on these areas that maximize wins and keep seats and keep Congress and keep Senate, and that we don't have an inordinate amount of spending in one area as opposed to another area. And having his daughter-in-law is just inappropriate as the chair. And then the Whatley guy who's the North Carolina GOP chair, I mean, literally he got sued by his own party members. I just don't think that having a family member of the nominee for president lead the party, that's too third world country for me. I don't like it. Now, they have to meet after the South Carolina primary. The RNC will meet, and then they're going to make the determination as to what they're going to do next. And they'll have their votes. But so far, those are the names that have been thrown in. We are waiting at some point for Biden to go out and speak. That wasn't on his schedule, right? Because I, correct me if I'm wrong, but I did not see that on his schedule.
No, I looked at his schedule yesterday. I didn't see anything. And even KJP, I forget which cut it is, but she admitted yesterday that he doesn't have anything on his schedule up to Thursday. So the fact that this popped up, I think might be.
Oh, yeah. Audio somebody too. Listen, yeah, he has nothing. He had nothing on his schedule. Listen, this was.
I don't have any anything yet for tomorrow, Wednesday, or Thursday. Obviously, when things move or we have something to share, we'll certainly put that out there on the daily guidance. Obviously, there's some movement happening in Congress as well that we're keeping a close eye on. And so once we have more to share, we'll have more to share on that.
Well, now he's going to be speaking. He's going to be talking about, again, this is on that Senate supplemental bill. And they're going to put all the pressure on members of the House. They're going to put so much pressure on the House. That's what this is all about. We have a lot more on the way. We've got headlines coming up. And then we've got, you know, some of the cultural stuff as well to touch on. The only Christian conservative cell phone service that's out there, Patriot Mobile also wants to just save you some money. Because in addition to making sure that you have the best dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you're getting the best service in your area, but you're not going to fund all of the stuff that you vote against every single time you go to the ballot box. And you can't make that guarantee at all with other cell phone service companies. With Patriot Mobile, though, you can. When you switch, not only can you save money because they got plans tailored for everybody, but you're also supporting your free speech and religious freedom and the Second Amendment and all of those issues that you care so deeply about. You can keep your phone or your number or upgrade. The choice is yours. And work with a member of their 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They're going to make it easy to switch. Free activation using code Dana. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. And be sure to use promo code Dana to get that free activation. Make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Southern California was shaken by 13 earthquakes over 25 minutes. They said several of them, which the largest registered a magnitude of 5.0, struck El Centro in the Imperial Valley. They said that this was according to the United States Geological Survey shake alert. They have a whole count that they post. They post on X. They said that the rattling went all the way up until 1 a.m. when the 13th quake of the series that began less than a half hour earlier was recorded. So they said that that was 2 days after a 4.6 hit northwest of Malibu. That's one thing I don't, earthquakes and tornadoes, I don't like. Oh, and tidal waves. Oh, I don't, or tsunamis, I don't like those either. Let's see, stunned children returned from a New Hampshire, turned to New Hampshire from school trip to France, and they found two illegal immigrants in the luggage compartment of their bus. This was in Britain. A whole bus, after they returned from a school trip to France, they all get back on the bus and they found two 20-year-old dudes lying inside under the bus where they have the luggage. And they just had, after the door was open, one tried to run off. Parents stopped him.
Just refugees.
Oh, just you lads then, is it? Yeah. And they said that it's quite concerning because you had 36 kids on the bus and no one knew that they were there. That was a little concerning. Yeah, you think so? That is concerning. Let's see. We had the this is one of the worst stories I've ever read. This has to do with Kansas City, Missouri. A mother who apparently has some mental developmental difficulties said she confused her the oven for the crib, and she put her barely, not, I think it was an 8-month-old baby in the oven and baked her to death. This is a horrible story. Mariah Thomas of Kansas City was charged with endangering the welfare of a child. She put her down for a nap in an oven. The child did not live because she burned alive. I mean, it was just horrific. Apparently her clothes were melted to her diaper. It was just awful. She says she put the child on for a nap and accidentally placed her in the oven instead of the crib. And apparently, I think it because she apparently does have some serious developmental difficulties mentally, but apparently she also is just an evil piece of trash, I think, too. I think it's both of these issues, because when I was reading a different article, she apparently had a limited intelligence level and all of this stuff and was struggling to care for the child just by herself. to do basic things, and she had to have some help. But goodness, that's just one of the most horrific things I think I've ever read. Oh my gosh. Let's see a couple of other things on this. Only 86% of Americans think Biden is too old for another term. Only 86%. Only 86%. I love how the surveys do this. It's an ABC Ipsos News poll. And they said, yes, only 86%. That's
almost all of us.
Yeah, that's almost everybody. Yeah, that's like way over. That's way over the whole, yeah. And we all know Lloyd Austin went back to the hospital, right? Everybody knows he went back. He's got his deputy who's now in charge. And apparently Biden still hasn't spoken with him. Speaking of Biden, he's now delayed by 15 minutes. He's supposed to be speaking coming up. Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, we make Vladimir Putin regret the day he questioned America's resolve. And we make clear to others like China's President Xi not to test our determination.
Yeah, I don't think that... I think that's such an inflated, really scenario that Schumer and other people, part of War Inc., like to present. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of this second hour. We're still waiting for the president to come out and speak, and he's going to put pressure on this Ukraine supplemental bill, this bill that gives, it's a $95 billion bill, all-night session, $61 billion for Ukraine, and it also provides $9.1 billion to Gaza and the West Bank. Our taxpayer dollars that we're sending to places that voted for terrorists as their government. Now, here's my question. Why are we giving aid to an entity that is that is represented by Hamas? And don't tell me that West Bank isn't represented by Hamas. It basically is. Fatah is has lost so much influence in that area. That's why they suspended elections, because Hamas is going to take over. There are people who are like, no, Hamas doesn't run West Bank, but de facto they do. And that was back in 2006. And even after everything, I mean, just what, 8 months ago, a poll came out showing that they still enjoyed overwhelming popularity. And there were a lot of people surveyed even after October 7th who thought Hamas, that they were resisting occupation, and that's why they did it. They didn't look at Hamas as the aggressors. You're talking about an area where for a generation, people have been brought up to believe that Israel is the devil, the U.S. is the devil, et cetera, et cetera. And Hamas has it. It's literally in their charter verbatim that Israel is not to be recognized. It doesn't have a right to exist, which is why you can never have a two-state solution. That was one of the big divides between Hamas and Fatah, because Fatah at least recognized Israel's right to exist and recognized Israeli sovereignty, and Hamas absolutely refused. So when you have all these countries demand that the United States or others recognize Palestine, which is a fictional country that's never existed and is not recognized either in the Bible or in the Quran or in the 2,000 whatever years of antiquity. And it was literally a spiteful name given by Hadrian to the land after the Second Judean Uprising, named after the Philistines, which were, you know, a seafaring people from Crete. That had nothing to do with that. The long story short is it's an entirely made up fictional country. It has no more ever been in existence than Bruce Jenner is a woman simply by changing his name and tucking. It's just not, that's not how it works. So why are all of these other, and Saudi Arabia has even added pressure under this. They think that the United States should recognize quote unquote Palestine as a country. I don't think that we should recognize any, I don't think we, Palestine should be recognized as a country. Not at all. In fact, I think everyone there needs to leave and go to either Jordan or Saudi Arabia or any of the other Arab League nations, and Israel should just take it back over. Because clearly, when they uprooted everything and unilaterally withdrew and gave everything in that area, including water filtration, manufacturing, entire greenhouses, everything to the officials that were running that Gaza Strip, that area, They didn't do anything with it. And in fact, they destroyed it so that they could make bombs and then have their people live with unreliable electricity, et cetera, et cetera. So clearly it hasn't worked. And no one knows anything any more than, and they've already done everything that they could possibly do. It's asinine to demand that the United States recognize an entity that has not proven that it is capable of even governing itself and recognizing it as a sovereign entity when it's in their elected official terrorist party's charter that they won't recognize our singular ally over there as a sovereign entity. So, no. Why are we sending almost $10 billion in quote-unquote humanitarian assistance that's not going to go to humanitarian assistance and it's just going to make more tunnels for Hamas? I didn't consent to having my tax dollars go to terrorists and people who vote for terrorists. And if you vote for a terrorist, guess what? You're a terrorist. If you are a people voting for terrorists to represent you, you're a damn terrorist. The end. Stop with this walking on eggshells to describe this strip. It is what it is. We didn't make that choice, but people sure as hell went out and voted. And there's another thing, too. When you have these children that have been released and they are taken back to Israel and they talk about how they've been held captive in a number of people's homes, that doesn't sound like Hamas. That sounds like regular, average, everyday people helping Hamas. You know, there was an Al Jazeera journalist that was discovered to have actually been like a prominent military leader in Hamas, who is masquerading as a bipartisan journalist or as an objective journalist. Do you realize how many regular average Gazan citizens were helping Hamas that day? I'm not even going to entertain this idea. I'm not playing this stupid rhetorical game. I'm tired of the games, whether it's for trans issues or this. It's colonialism by Hamas that failed. Now, that being said, this $10 billion, there's no reason why we should be spending $10 billion on this. There's no reason why we should be spending any money anywhere to any foreign entity, ally or not, without the securing of the southern border. So all of that money, and they were going to give $4 billion to the Indo-Pacific to deter aggression by China. Oh, that's just a pittance. Yes, only in Washington do you say $4 billion is a pittance, but it is. And so this is just complete dysfunction. Mitch McConnell, I think, he's a great parliamentarian, but I think he's losing it. Problem is, who takes over after Mitch McConnell? That's the problem. And he apparently thinks, Graham said he would, Lindsey Graham had said that he would have blocked a bill unless he got an agreement on some sort of amendment on border security. So they put a pittance in there. They put, that was it. Not barely an acknowledgement. This is just ridiculous. $60 billion here, $60 million there. I mean, you're looking at $95 billion. And 22 Republicans that supported it. So when Biden speaks, he's apparently going to be to put pressure on this to get this to happen. They're going to put pressure on. They're going to try to get the House to bend. And the House cannot bend. They have to hold the line. And they are going to drag them. They're going to try to use this for get out the vote. Everything, especially in purple districts. They're going to use this as get out the vote stuff. That's what it's all going to be for. But I'm telling you, and there's no messaging on it from the RNC. The RNC is having a fight over everything, over who's going to run their whole stuff. I was looking at this too, because yesterday we had this story about the crossings in the northern, because it's not just the southern border with Mexico. I mean, I don't know what you would do as a force multiplier up at the northern border with Canada. I'm not quite sure what you would do there. I mean, obviously, you're going to have a way better partner in Canada than you would in Mexico in dealing with this, but still. So you can imagine the president's going to, he's going to echo, I think, what some of Schumer had said. This is what he also said. On $95 billion, audio soundbite 10, here's him pushing it again.
Well, Mr. President, it's been a long night, a long weekend, and a long few months, but a new day is here, and our efforts have been more than worth it. Today we witnessed one of the most historic and consequential bills to have ever passed the Senate.
Yeah, consequential, historic. How is this? I mean, you're giving just more billions to Ukraine. $10 billion to Gaza. That's, how is this in any, I don't understand their thoughts there, that this is somehow such a huge get. This is just more cash, more along the line. So he's expected to speak. And he was going to speak. What I told you, he was going to be 40 minutes late. I'm about right. Mm-hmm. I am 4 minutes. I'm about 5 minutes away from being exactly correct. If he comes out, he was supposed to come out
a half hour ago.
And then they kept pushing it back and they kept pushing it back and pushing it back. So, yeah, this will be interesting. So we're going to get into all of this, because I'm telling you, it's what do you think he's going to say in this? How can he say anything?
He's going to try and rah-rah. He's probably going to demonize the House in some way and then position it in some sort of prediction that the House is going to kill this ever-important aid, and that Republicans' fault is why Ukraine will fall and the entire European front will be done.
Yay.
It'll be something that... There,
it'll be, oh, it's war with Russia. It'll be war with Russia. But Russia has... Look, Russia has said... They don't want to expand. They don't look to. I mean, he kind of went out and said he doesn't really feel like challenging NATO, because he can't. If they would have been able to step up to NATO, he would have been able to steamroll through Ukraine, and they couldn't do that. They don't have the wherewithal, the resources, or the finances to take on NATO. And this argument that, well, NATO's been at the doorstep for the Baltic states. Finland was the latest. That was back in April of last year. That Finland joined. That was the most eastward expansion that there has been. I just feel I don't trust anybody who makes it out like there's about to be World War III with specifically Russia. I don't believe it, because they would have been able to steamroll through Ukraine. They would have had more Chinese help with Ukraine too, if it really was. Not to say that you shouldn't watch any kind of burgeoning relationship between Russia and China, but this idea that they're getting ready to turn on a dime and make this cold hot, that's not supported by the facts. It's just simply not. We have Florida Man on the way, and we're going to watch to see, because I am curious as to what Biden says with this bill and how much pressure he puts on members of the House. And Mike Johnson, the Speaker, is going to be really tested here.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I love this. So a Florida representative introduces a bill that would make it impossible to punish someone for the unauthorized killing of a bear. But he says that, no, it's just the crack bears that we're talking about, not all bears. What? I'm not kidding you. He says, just the ones that are on crack. We're talking about the ones that are on crack. They break your door down. They're standing in your living room growling, tearing your house apart. You should be able to shoot that bear. I'm not kidding you. It was House Bill 87. I'm pulling it up right now. This is an actual thing. Taking of bears.
Is there a crack?
Jason Schoaf. Yeah.
Subheading?
He goes, we love bears. Bears are cute and cuddly. No, it's only some bears that have to die. The crack ones. That's literally what it was. So The Guardian wrote a whole piece on how they were unable to find a documented incident of any of Florida's estimated population of 4,050 black bears having ingested crack. And he's like, well, you know, I use the phrase on crack, like if they're acting like if they're on crack, not like if they're literally ingesting crack. There's probably a better way to put it, but okay. I mean,
aggressive,
dangerous, you know, something like that. A Florida man wields a machete, vows to eat his body in a chilling threat to landscaper. A Coral Springs man is, now we have this, there's some new developments in it. Because at first it was just a guy who brandished a machete. No, now he got into a fight with a landscaping worker. And according to Coral Springs police, this guy not only brandished an actual machete, but he also said he was going to chop up said lawn care worker and eat him. The victim, a local landscaping company owner, the guy's name, who is the aggressor, Samuel Diorio, 63, The landscaper and his crew were working at a nearby residence. Diorio approached, photographed the truck. The guy asked why. It escalated. And Diorio says, I will cut you to pieces. I will cut you up today. I will eat your bodies. That's pretty serious. Wow. That guy's a crack bear. So the guy ended up being, he was transported to Broward County Main Jail. He was arrested by Coral Springs Police Department. Man, Coral Springs, can you imagine? Like that whole area, first you got the crack bears, and now you got this guy who acts like a crack bear over some. Okay. Let's see here. I got a couple of really good ones. Let's do, a Florida woman was accused of hitting a man and a child on bikes with a broomstick. Jeez. Florida woman has landed herself behind bars. Annette Krupnicka, 59, was arrested and charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon with blah, 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 blah. So Leesburg neighborhood, apparently she was in the middle of the road and literally was hitting kids with broomsticks, with a broomstick on a bike. And apparently someone's doorbell camera recorded her doing it. So as a kid rode past her, she'd hit him with a broomstick. So she's was taken to Lake County Jail. She's still there, $5,000 bond. Because you can't, you know, you can't hit people on bikes with broomsticks. This is not something that you can't do. It's not, oh, man, that's not the craziest story I have today. So Cape Coral, back to Cape Coral. They're busy. They got crack bears. They got the guy threatening to eat his landscaper. And then now they're looking for a Cookie Monster, like literally like an actual, like Cookie Monster pajama clad people who have been stealing from Lowe's. A male and a female who went in, if you go, okay, I get very Karl Lagerfeld about pajamas in public. Like, I just feel like you've given up on life if you're wearing pajamas in public. Like, you've just, you like, you're a step away from suiciding yourself. A male and female in matching Cookie Monster pajamas tried to rob a Lowe's store when stopped by loss prevention. The guy revealed a gun in the waist in the waistband of his Cookie Monster jammies, and they were able to get away. So the Cape Coral police are looking for them. So if you see two losers who wear pajamas and don't carry properly, it's probably these two schmucks. It's probably them. Jiminy Christmas. Crack bears. Maybe he's talking about those. Maybe Shof was talking about these people as the crack bears. I don't know. All right, so we're waiting for the president, who's now an hour late, to come out and try to extort members of the House to pass their big spending bill that doesn't include anything for the border. We'll bring you the latest. Stay with us.
Yeah, I've been up all night. Just finished an hour-long speech in the Senate. And having exhausted the roster of all senators eligible to speak who wanted to speak, the Senate immediately called the vote. And after I clocked out, they're up there voting right now. It appears destined to pass. This didn't have to happen. It's unfortunate that we had Senate Republicans turning on the commitment they made to each other and to their voters and to our House Republican colleagues down the hall. There'll be more opportunity to talk about that later, but in the meantime, I take some comfort in knowing that the Speaker of the House has pronounced it dead on arrival. Thanks.
That's Senator Mike Lee saying that he did everything he could to stop that stupid Ukraine supplemental, which now the president at some point, I guess when they shoot him up with a bunch of hunter's crack and they get him fit to walk out there and mumble mouth through some statement about how the House needs to pass it, then he'll try to pressure the House to do so. But that's Senator Mike Lee saying he tried stopping it, but you know, I mean, we have a lot of dumb senators there that people voted for and sent to the Senate. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour. And I was watching some of the back and forth between Ken Paxton and John Cornyn. And John Cornyn and Paxton's the AG of Texas, are going back and forth. And Paxton had said, unbelievable that Cornyn would stay up all night to defend other countries' borders, but not America. And oh my gosh, I mean, John Cornyn lost his mind over this and brought up his Paxton's charges and all this other stuff. And it just looks so bad. He's been trying to bury it on his timeline, which I thought was kind of funny. He buried it way, way down. And I'm not a Cornyn fan. And I also think that he's now trying to kiss butt because he's now trying to say that the RNC replacement picks are great and they're not. You're basically getting Ron and McDaniel 2.0 and a guy who's getting sued by his own delegates in North Carolina because he rigged his chairman's race to win and he runs the North Carolina GOP. I mean, I don't like people who enjoy losing like it's their blanking job since 2016. And that's essentially what we're having here. I think if you pick the RNC chair last time and it ended up being a giant turd sandwich, you don't get to pick the next one. Just my thinking on this. It's about picking people who are capable, not picking people that you not necessarily trust. It's about picking people who are capable of doing the job. This is just a nightmare. And if the RNC decides to make that decision, don't expect anybody to simp for y'all. Don't expect like defenses on your stupid decisions because there won't be any. This godforsaken party. Where's Smod? I want Smod. Why can't Smod be on the ballot? Why can't Smod just destroy? Just come on, Smod. All right, so that's the latest. But they're going to try to put a lot of pressure on the House with this. A lot of pressure. That's what this whole thing is designed for. The whole thing is designed for this. And so we'll see how that goes. A couple of other things to touch on here as well, as we figure out whether or not Biden's going to come out and speak, or if he's going to speak or not. I wrote a piece, if you haven't seen it, I put it up on my Substack, Chapter and Verse, and it gets into, and I saw that, who is it? I think it was Mark Wahlberg had said something about the woke Jesus ads that they had. Because Mark Wahlberg's stuff was actually really good. He had a Christian meditation app where he focuses on prayer and all this stuff. And his stuff, I think, is actually good and useful. But he had a video where he was encouraging everybody to pray and all this stuff. He focuses on, you know, like the real meaning, whereas everybody else focuses on identity. And I wrote about this because I keep learning more about this group that's behind that. They did the whole He Gets Us ad stuff. And that's what I wrote about. And you can see it over at Substack. It's called The Problem with Buddy Jesus Blasphemy. The group that's behind the He Gets Us campaign is called Come Near, and they make idols of political identity. And that's exactly what it is. And I went and I looked back at all the images they used in the ad that they bought, this multi-million dollar Super Bowl ad that they purchased. And I thought it was AI images, and it looks like AI images, but actually it's actually weirdly staged photographs that they decided to, you know, filter and all this airbrush and all this other stuff. But what this ad does from the onset, And I'm going to get into the background of the people who are the strategists and help come up with the concepts for their ads. But what this ad does is it takes these avatars, a very predictable political and ideological divisions. And you have like a presumably pregnant woman who's having her feet washed outside of a Planned Parenthood. You got a police officer washing a black guy's feet, a popular high school girl washing the feet of an alternative girl. You know, the cowboy washing the American Indian's feet. You got the roughneck who's washing the climate protesters' feet. You know, I mean, you get the blonde suburban wife washing the feet of an illegal immigrant woman. I mean, that's what you get. And while they're attempting to lecture everybody on societal division, the He Gets Us people, I mean, when you look at these ads, they're playing in the misogyny and bigotry that they're claiming to reject themselves with the way that they're setting the images for the ads. I mean, they reduced everyone who is concerned about illegal immigration. They reduced them all down to a blonde suburban, presumably housewife. They made her look like Leave It to Beaver's mom on her knees in the middle of her cul-de-sac, washing the feet of this one woman who presumably came here with a whole busload of illegal immigrants, and she's standing there defiantly. All of the people on their knees doing the washing of the feet are all the people that you would place on the right, whereas all the people who are having their feet washed are all the people that you would place on the left. There is not an instance where these roles are reversed. where you have a trans activist washing the feet of like an actual woman, or an illegal immigrant or cartel member washing the feet of a besieged border rancher. And the fact that none of these were ever reversed, ever, kind of, that's what suggests that the whole he gets us people, they didn't view the feet washing act as how it was meant in the Bible. They viewed it as a symbol of rectification, right? For those who are pro-legal immigration or pro-life or whatever, like they were the ones who did something wrong and they have to rectify it because of who they are. That's what the ad plays into. And it also suggests that Jesus came to serve rather than teach his disciples humility in service. And because of this, the ad makes political identity an idol. That's exactly what it does. We are divided by these identities, the ads is telling you. And these different identities won't be nice to one another, when in reality, we're divided because we live in a godless society. And you can't have true peace without the savior of mankind. And the only identity is as children of the kingdom. They dress all this up in social justice regalia. And then they fell victim to what they claimed they wanted to avoid, right? They previously portrayed Jesus and his disciples as bike gangs. And they've portrayed Jesus, Mary, and Joseph as illegal immigrants. By the way, Egypt was part of the Roman Empire. So it would be like me moving from Missouri to Texas. That's exactly what it was like. But I don't even, what is, he gets us. Jesus never affirmed sin. He rebuked it. Anyway, the people behind this, they're anti-Israel. They've protected their tweets from public view, and they've donated a lot to the left. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of the border, here's the president now trying to shame you all on it. I want to listen in to some of what he says, because he's going to bring the pressure on the House live.
This is a critical act for the House to move. It needs to move. The bill provides urgent funding for Ukraine so it can keep defending itself against Putin's vicious, vicious onslaught. We've all seen the terrible stories in recent weeks. Ukrainian soldiers out of artillery shells, Ukrainian units rationing rounds of ammunition to defend themselves, Ukrainian families worried that the next Russian strike will permanently plunge them into darkness or worse. This bipartisan bill sends a clear message to Ukrainians and to our partners and to our allies around the world. America can be trusted. America can be relied upon. And America stands up for freedom. We stand strong for our allies. We never bow down to anyone, and certainly not to Vladimir Putin. So let's get on with this. Remember, the United States pulled together a coalition of nearly 50 nations to support Ukraine. We unified NATO, expanded it. We can't walk away now. That's what Putin's betting on. He just flatly said that. Supporting this bill is standing up to Putin. Opposing it is playing into Putin's hands. As I've said before, the stakes in this fight extend far beyond Ukraine. If we don't stop Putin's appetite for power and control in Ukraine, he won't limit himself just to Ukraine. And the cost for America and our allies and partners are going to rise. For Republicans in Congress who think they can oppose funding for Ukraine and not be held accountable, history is watching. History is watching. History is watching. Failure to support Ukraine at this critical moment will never be forgotten. I want to be clear about something, because I know it's important to the American people. While this bill sends military equipment to Ukraine, it spends the money right here in the United States of America, in places like Arizona, where the Patriot missiles are built, in Alabama, where the Javelin missiles are built, in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Texas, where artillery shells are made. And the way it works is we supply Ukraine with military equipment from our stockpiles, and then we spend our money replenishing those stockpiles so our military has access to them. Stockpiles that are made right here in America by American workers. That not only supports American jobs and American communities, it allows us to invest in maintaining and strengthening our own defense manufacturing capacity. Look, this bill meets our national security priorities in the Middle East as well, and includes greater support for our troops serving in the region, who continue to defend against militia attacks backed by Iran. It also provides Israel with what it needs to protect its people against a terrorist group like Hamas and Hezbollah and others. And it will provide life-saving humanitarian aid to the Palestinian people, who who desperately need food, water, and shelter. They need help. Finally, this bill includes critical funding for our national security priorities in Asia. Because even as we focus on the conflicts in Gaza and Ukraine, we must not take our eye off our national security challenges in the Pacific. It's the responsibility of a great nation, and we are a great nation that the rest of the world looks to. And I mean that, the rest of the world looks to us. The stakes are already high for American security before this bill was passed in the Senate last night. But in recent days, those stakes have risen. And that's because the former president has sent a dangerous and shockingly, frankly, un-American signal to the world. Just a few days ago, Trump gave an invitation to Putin to invade some of our allies, NATO allies. He said if an ally didn't spend enough money on defense, he would encourage Russia to, quote, do whatever the hell they want, end of quote. Can you imagine a former president of the United States saying that? The whole world heard it. The worst thing is he means it. No other president in our history has ever bowed down to a Russian dictator. Well, let me say this as clearly as I can. I never will. For God's sake, it's dumb, it's shameful, it's dangerous, it's un-American. When America gives us word, it means something. When we make a commitment,
we're up against a hard break here, but I mean, you did work with a Fusion GPS entity, dude. Where to even start? But we do have to run into some headlines. So they're going to try to pressure. And he's going to try to also say, to distill everything down. This works better for him if he can make this about Trump than actually about people's legitimate concerns over an unsecured border. And he's going to do everything possible to because that works for them. That's what they're going to do. So.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, let's see. Ooh, golly, this is crazy. Accidental coke dust at a Martinez refinery. So, a company, refining company, is reporting an accidental release of petroleum coke dust. Somewhere Hunter Biden is out there sniffing the air. Contra Costa Health posted that the latest incident, saying that it was over the weekend. They said a small amount of dust became airborne for a short period of time. They managed to keep the substance on site. They had hazmat out there, etc. I'm only fascinated because I didn't even know that there was petroleum coke dust. I mean, that seems like really bougie cocaine, considering how expensive energy is right now, right? It's probably like less plentiful than actual like cocaine. You know, we're just saying. Let's see. A man pulls a knife and beats up a bus operator for not driving faster in Manhattan traffic. Again, in Manhattan traffic. Have you ever driven or been on any? Oh my gosh, in Manhattan, you can get there running or walking speedily faster than you can in a vehicle. It's dumb to even take a vehicle anywhere. But apparently this bus ride turned violent when police say a passenger got mad, threw punches at the driver, even pulled out a knife. They said that they wanted him to drive faster. You can't. So this guy's being obviously taken into custody. He's going to have a strong, I think, penalty so that they maybe, hopefully, so they deter this stuff. More on the way. Stick with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
God bless you all. May God protect our speakers. And I promise I'll come back and answer questions later. Thank you.
Sir, when Trump said that, sir, what did Putin hear?
What's Plan B if the speaker doesn't act?
Sir, the hostages are here.
That's it. He shuffles away. That was it. Nothing more. Nothing more to see here, guys. He shuffles away. That was Joe Biden ending that his little press statements there, where he was just really trying to shame, I think, the House into pushing this supplemental where, I mean, $95 billion spent, a huge chunk of it going to Gaza, even. Not just Ukraine, but also going to Gaza, etc. Just wild stuff. Welcome back to the show. Again, Dana Lash here with you. You can listen to the program around the country. You can stream it. You can watch the video component, the simulcast, Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, and Facebook as well. that I, as I said before, I think his goal is to try to distill and do this as a way to invalidate legitimate concerns that people have as it relates to the border, to reduce it all down to just Trump, because it's easier for him to run on that. It's a lot easier for him to run on that if you just do it that way. And that's his whole goal. That's what he wants to do. And that way he can make it to where all any kind of he wants to reframe the opposition and support to be Trump v. Biden instead of legitimate legal immigration and just a total open lawless border. And the media may help him do that. He's also trying to simultaneously fight this growing Democrat civil war. People who want him out, they don't think, which we all, I think, can agree, he can't handle, guys, come on. Every press conference gets worse. If you have ever, even going back to 08, if you listen to him debate, and if you listened to him give interviews, it is night and day. This has not to do with age. I know a lot of people who are in their 80s who are fast and sharp. This is about, I think he had a stroke. I think he had a major stroke. And I don't think this is as recovered as he's going to get. I mean, you can even see John Fetterman, who I don't agree with on a lot of things. And he said something dumb the other day again. It's okay. He still has his hoodie pass. Don't jeopardize it. You can actually see, can you not look at Fetterman and actually in your mind, you know what he sounded like when he was running for office. And now it's like, it's quite different, right? He's recovered. He has been going through a process of recovery. He doesn't hesitate and have to take longer to process words. He can immediately understand what's being said to him. Whereas previously, he almost had to have an aide there to help. He has gone through recovery and he's getting back to having a hold of his faculties the way he did prior to his stroke. Biden is not like that. If you look at Biden pre and then post, you can't tell me that that's not what it is, regardless of whether or not they want to divulge it. Everybody on God's green earth, y'all have had somebody in your family where you have watched them struggle with a recovery like this. I've had a great uncle and I had another family member that went through this. You recognize it. You can recognize it pretty quick. It's a cognitive issue. And I that's what this is with him. And he has not, I think it's part due to age. And I think partly due to maybe how serious it was, but you can't tell me that he didn't have something of that effect that happened to him. He can't do this. So he's dealing with the civil war brewing within the Democrat Party where people are trying to push him out and they're going to make it very uncomfortable for him. But they got to be careful because they can't imperil their party as a whole. They can't imperil their party's chances going into 2024, which is why they have to play it very cool. That's why everything is just incremental. It's just very, even the criticism, if I'm being honest, of Biden and his mental acuity is pretty soft. But the fact that it exists at all on the left is huge because they don't allow for any kind of dissent. There is no debate. A mere question represents a betrayal of ideology, and that's not allowed. That means that you're asking questions. That means you are rebuking their authority. You're objecting to it, questioning it. That can't be allowed. A couple of things to touch on here. First, more information is coming out about that Lakewood shooter. So it was a woman cosplaying as a man. The former mother-in-law, remember, because this woman went by the name of Jeffrey and she brought her son. Apparently it was her kid. The former mother-in-law of this Moreno person who wanted to cosplay as a man said that they had tried to help her before. She apparently is schizophrenic. But they said she was always allowed to own firearms. The mother-in-law said she had a particular kind of schizophrenia that caused her to become violent. She threatened her husband, my own son, and we still couldn't get intervention. I don't believe you. Because if you are... there's a weapons charges, but if you had gone and gotten a protective order, she would have been made an immediate prohibited possessor, and then you could have had her evaluated without having to have the due process eliminating red flag laws. So I'm not saying that to be mean. I just simply don't believe that they actually pursued the legal pathway to render her ineligible to legally purchase. That's why she could legally purchase, because you literally have to go through it. And there's a reason why. You can't just dispel someone's natural right because, you know, like with a snap of your fingers. The process is there, but a lot of people don't want to go through it. If you're talking about removing someone's natural rights, then it's serious enough for you to go through it. And all of us shouldn't have to be penalized because you don't feel like it. And she said that they had asked for help from police. She was still allowed to own guns. Again, you have to go through the legal pathway. But apparently she was schizophrenic. And the boy that was brought with her had health issues as well. Just a mess. An absolute mess. And so, I mean, my heavens. And then the press still. We just don't know what the motive is. I mean, she slapped a Free Palestine sticker on her gun. We just don't know the motive. But yet, anytime there's, every other time, they always say, oh, it's a law-abiding gun owner, probably a white Christian male. Isn't that what they usually say? Speaking of identity politics, do you guys remember the story? And this, so it's kind of, it's an older story, but it's now because the legal wheel is in motion. It's back in the headlines. Do you remember the BLM, or not the BLM, sorry, the Alphabet LGBTQ barbecue flag mural that was painted in a Florida street in Palm Beach County, and how this 19-year-old got in trouble because he like did a burnout on it? So he had to post a $5,250 bond for felony criminal mischief. Someone in D.C. also, they didn't burn out, but they apparently left tire marks on the mural like this in D.C. and they got in trouble. Because, you know, it's a damn mural in the street. Cars drive over it. They said that this guy, Dylan Brewer, they said he vandalized the street because he did burnouts on an LGBTQ flag mural that was in the street. And they said he caused significant damage to the streetscape painting. Did taxpayers give you authority, give the Alphabet people their authority to deface and vandalize their street with a mural in the first place? So he was charged with felony criminal mischief and reckless driving. Kane, what's a street used for?
Driving.
If you paint something on the street, what happens?
It gets driven on.
Mm-hmm. They got to repaint the lines in the street a lot, don't they?
They do, actually.
Because they get driven on.
It's in the state and local budgets.
Yeah. This is a flag mural in the middle of the street. There's nothing holy about this flag. It's not consecrated. It's not. If you didn't want people to drive on it, don't paint it in the damn street. But what I don't get is how you had for 2 summers in a row, 3, at least 2 years in a row, you had activists that were burning down black neighborhoods. You had activists that were running through the streets in D.C., busting up rideshare vehicles, burning down people's sources of income, vandalism, and so few people, the people who tried to burn down the church in D.C., were there any charges that ever came from that?
Good question.
There were hardly any charges that came out of any of this stuff. I know for a fact in my hometown of St. Louis, there was a lot of destruction going on. Nobody got charged. This guy does a burnout on a Alphabet flag, and he gets charged with a felony. I just think if you're going to paint something in the road and vandalize the road that we taxpayers have to maintain, then you're asking for it. That's just what I think.
The American flag, if it was painted on there and somebody burnt out on it, nobody would be charged with anything.
Mm-hmm.
It would be completely fine. I don't understand why it's a different situation here.
Yeah. And he really didn't, I mean, they have it on video, what he did, and he really didn't, do anything. He just kind of drifted a little bit. It wasn't even anything crazy. I mean, you had like all these mostly peaceful protests and people burning stuff down. The Alphabet class is like the most protected class on God's green earth. If you're an Alphabet member, most particularly if you're the T, I think the L's get like the least. But if you're the T, you are the most protected class in the United States. I mean, people treat you like a saint after you go and shoot up a Christian school full of kids. Like in, we saw in Nashville. This is crazy. I think the rest of the Alphabet needs to like kick the T out. They need to get the T out of there. I actually don't know. I really honestly do not know any person who is gay or any lesbian who likes the T being part of it. I was thinking about this the other day. I don't know anybody who does. Do you? I don't know anybody who does.
I even remember when all this was starting. When they injected themselves into it initially, there was a pushback initially.
They had a huge thing in London. You're watching the guys, Luan showing the guy. He just kind of drifted a little bit. He got charged for a felony for that. That's so dumb. There was a protest in London, I remember, when all of this got started, when they started incorporating the T into it. And there were a bunch of lesbians who got punched in the face by dudes cosplaying as women. You better call me ma'am. I'll punch you in the face. Good grief. We have more on the way.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
The $17 million investment for these 18 black and brown small businesses is really the... it really captures what I call the soul of Chicago. It's who we are.
What? So this is the Chicago mayor who blamed his wife and kids as to why he couldn't do his job. He says that black-owned businesses were given $17 million to feed illegal aliens, and white-owned businesses didn't qualify for the program. What? Is that racism? Because it sounds like it, right? It does. I
mean, on a basic fundamental level, government shouldn't be picking these things.
No, they shouldn't be doing this at all. They shouldn't be involved in this at all. No. $17 million. What's the crime rate in Chicago like as of late? And they're worried. Geez, such a mess. Absolute mess. So as I said, we've been talking about the the supplemental bill. Is Biden going to come back and talk about that? He said he was going to come back out and answer questions. Like when?
I think he said tomorrow.
What?
He said tomorrow.
Why wouldn't he just answer questions there?
Yeah, he doesn't have the scripting yet.
When all the press was there. Everything is so dumb. It's all so dumb. So we'll see. I guess I don't believe that he's involved. He's not, Joe Biden's not involved in pushing this through Congress. He's not involved in any of this stuff. He's not doing anything. He doesn't know what's in this bill. He has no clue. He just goes out there and he says what they tell him to say, and that's the end of it. He has no idea what's going on with any of it. None. And in the meantime, I don't see it passing the House, although I've been, you know, it could happen. Johnson says he's going to hold the line, but it could happen. It's on life support, but it's not dead yet. We'll see that go. As that continues, we'll keep an eye on it for you. In the meantime, too, I've got a couple of other things. I'm going to make sure that we're hitting everything because there's some stuff that we didn't touch on today. This has been, it's been busy. It's been a busy day. We had that passage, $95 billion, and then we've had all the cultural stuff. And then, of course, the latest with that killer out of Lakewood, the Lakewood Church down in Houston. The other issue, too, is they're still doing that New York fight, that New York race fight with over George Santos's seat. They're looking at that third congressional district seat in New York. That's going to be a special election. And they're looking at a Democrat facing off against this Republican. The Republican barely has a lead. It's well within the margin of error. So that's because you got to consider that seat as well, changing the balance of power in the House. All right. In the meantime, today's stupidity came.
All right. KJP is referring to that special counsel report on Biden's mental faculties.
Yay.
Listen to who the experts are that are against that report. Listen.
Well, look, and I just want to be really clear, it's not just us. There was also a bipartisan voices and the illegal experts who have said
what?
It was
illegal experts.
Wait. Right? It was
illegal,
it was
experts have weighed in. And we all should believe Biden is just fine.
Illegal experts.
Yeah, it's the illegal ones.
Like they're experts that are illegal, or their expertise is in illegal things.
Great question.
It's the, you know, it's the Nordstrom pipeline, right? That's what she said. Folks, have a great night. Make sure you check out Substack, Chapter and Verse, YouTube, Facebook. God bless.